Let's turn our Bibles to Acts 16, and we'll read from verse 16 to 24. So Acts 16, 16 to 24. It happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl having a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune-telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, "These men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." She continued doing this for many days. But Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out of her at the very moment. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And when they had brought them to the chief magistrates, they said, "These men are throwing our city into confusion, being Jews, and are proclaiming customs which it is not lawful for us to accept or to observe, being Romans." The crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore the robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. When they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. And we'll just stop here. Let's go into a word of prayer. Father, we just want to thank you for this morning, Lord, where we can gather before you in your house, God, to just give you our first fruit in our time, in our heart, in our mind, Lord. And I pray, God, that you will come and speak to us, Lord, however you want to, Lord. We just want to give you the freedom to minister in our hearts, God. May you be with us, Lord, as we share this morning together. Take pleasure in our coming together and dedicating this time to you, Lord. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I was reading this passage, and so I was meditating. I was a little curious. Actually, I always come to this passage and I always think, oh, why is it that it took Paul a few days before he decided to kick the demon out? I mean, after all, they come with a very long list of just successful ministry. Before this, you know, they had major converts, right? The tongues of fire came down in their churches. Many people received the Holy Spirit and was baptized in the Holy Spirit, encountering the Lord, speaking in tongues. Miracles happen. Healings happen. You know, Peter heals a lame man, and then eventually Saul has an epic conversion where he was blinded, and then his scales were removed, and then he became a believer. They were raising the dead, healing paralyzed people. Peter even left the prison. You know, so many things happen, like so many miracles, so many things that surely it has to be God, because if it wasn't, then I don't know how these things could have happened. But in this journey of Paul and Silas, like, why did it take them so long? Why did he have to wait until Paul was annoyed, and then he casted them out? So as I was reading through this and meditating this, what I drew out of the passages were scenarios that I was thinking, maybe this could have happened. I'm not saying that this was exactly what happened to Paul, but I'm just putting it into how it may affect me, and if I was the person there, like, what were the things that I could have been thinking of that could have caused the delay in casting this demon out? I mean, maybe it was God's wisdom, right? But for me, I was thinking, oh, okay, why did he wait so long? Is it because there was a little bit of pride? Now, I'm not saying Paul had pride, but if I was on a mission trip and then I did major successful ministry and everything, and then there's this person that's following me and my team declaring that, oh yeah, they are the bondservants of Jesus Christ. They're here to preach Jesus. It's true, right? what she is saying is actually true. She's not lying, but she keeps saying it. Maybe a part of me may be like, oh, wow, yeah. Even this well-known demonized slave girl who brings her master much profit through fortune-telling is telling the truth. So yeah, even the enemy, you know, knows it. Even the enemy recognizes that, yeah, I'm here because I'm God's bondservant, right? And it's a kind of a nice promotion, like a PR marketing promotion. I don't have to go anywhere. This person's following me. And then say, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So let's do ministry now. You know, may make things a lot easier too, right? but there's something wrong with it. And as I was meditating and I was thinking, oh, you know, actually, it may take a few days, but there's a danger of allowing the enemy to speak the truth. Because, I mean, the enemy knows the truth. The enemy was here as early as the Lord created him, which is way earlier than any of us here. And he knows the Bible very well. He knows God very well. So he knows the truth very well. And so the danger of allowing the enemy to speak the truth and playing along with it would be eventually Paul and Silas were only going to pass by this place. They're not going to stay here for the rest of their life ministering to these people. When they leave, everyone who had heard this slave girl prophesy or speaking in her way of seeing into the spiritual realm the truth, people may actually give her credit. People may actually go to her saying, oh, she was the one who said that Paul and Silas were the bondservant of God. She is so right. They did do a lot of miracles. Oh, yeah, they did preach. They were following Jesus. She's right. I should go to her. And so there was a huge aftermath that we may not be able to foresee because Paul and Silas will leave, but yet the slave girl wouldn't. And she's going to continue to, she may take credit. Yeah, I was the one who prophesied, you know. And then it can lead everyone completely astray. Even though what she said may have been true at that moment, but it came from a wrong heart. It came from the wrong place. She was there for ulterior motive. And this could be the consequences of it. This very reason of getting people drawn to her instead of to Paul and Silas and then to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, may be the very reason why she is actually speaking truth. So if that's the case, I mean, it still doesn't explain why Paul took a few days. I'm not trying to explain why it took him a few days. I'm just trying to explain what may have happened. But if that's the case, then to me, spiritual discernment is a very important thing. We really need to test the prophecies of God. We really need to be aware and alert. Who is speaking these things? What are they saying? After you hear it, what do you do with it? You got to go to God. Is this right? Is this what you want me to receive? What is the fruit of this? Because bad seed will not create good fruit. Only bad is going to come out of it. I really surely do not believe this demonized slave girl will speak with a heart of love and with a heart of good fruit because her whole ministry is to work for her master. And so for me, I felt like, discernment, spiritual discernment is vital in our walk with God, and we have to be aware that even though sometimes people may say things that sound godly, but we need to not just take it at face value, but we need to go before the Lord. We need to ask Him, God, is this what you're saying? And God always have a personal message for each one of us. Right, so he will expand. He will allow you to know. He will confirm with you. So that was one of the first thing I thought of. And you know, when and if there is pride, then really there is no fear, because it's all puffed up, right? Like you don't fear anything. So the other thing I was thinking, oh, maybe there's a fear of the consequences, so they waited for so long, because after all, you know, she was bringing her master much profit through her fortune telling, and maybe they knew that if they did anything, they would have created a whole scene, and taken away the slave girl from her job and, you know, taking away her master's profit. And in fact, I think this was kind of what happened, because eventually they, you know, a big scene happened, the magistrates came, and they were thrown into prison after being beaten into the most secure prison. And that's also not a good thing to walk in, right? Fear of man. Because ultimately that, I mean, ultimately, if that was the end result anyway for what they were going to do when they cast out the slave girl, if they cast out earlier and later, the end result was going to be the same, right? They're going to experience the same thing. But if we read later on, we realize, oh, but God was with them. You know, in this whole time, God actually strengthened them. And when they were in prison, they were singing hymns and worship. And eventually, the Lord freed them and actually used them to do miraculous work to save the jailer as well. So I think for Paul and Silas, ultimately, they didn't carry a fear of man. But I think for me, if I was, again, if I was in this situation and I'm walking and this demonized slave girl keeps proclaiming this over me, I might be fearful. I might be thinking, oh, dude, you know, like, I'm going to mess things up here. And then, you know, is this the right timing to mess things up here in this place? And then I'm going to leave later on. Maybe I can just leave her be and just continue on my journey, you know. But that may not be what the Lord wants in as well, right? And so we can't walk in that fear of man and fear of the consequences that may happen to us through what man can do. Instead, we have to really walk in the boldness of God to counter these things no matter what. And so my two takeaway from this passage is that there are consequences in allowing the enemy speak and allowing pride to enter into us, and also to walk in the fear of man, that can also bring forth a lot of, blockages or obstacles in our walk with God. And so I just wanted to take this time to pray and to just meditate before the Lord and allow Him to search our hearts and see, you know, if there are any ways that we are walking that is out of pride, or even not being aware of little things that are around us that may give credit to the enemy instead of to God. Just to allow Him to move and to search our hearts, to let us know so that we may turn away from it. And if there are in any way fear in turning away or fear in going towards God because of the consequences, that we may really lift it up to God and let Him know that, let Him allow us to know that He is God and He's got it under control. Like Paul and Silas, He had it under control when they were in prison. They were singing, they were worshiping, they were not afraid from what I read, you know. They actually encountered the Lord and they brought the presence of God with them. And that's what we can do, you know, when in times of being unsure or fear or, in trouble, you know, the Lord is always here, that we will always make Him let Him know and allow Him to be who He is, which is the Alpha and the Omega, the most powerful. Yeah, so let's take a moment and just reflect on that. Thank you. just pray that, you will come, Lord, and teach us. There's so many things that we have yet to know and learn and grow deeper in, God. And we ask, Lord, that, may you come, God, and give us discernment. Give us your spiritual discernment, Father, Lord, God. Let us walk as Christians that are awakened in the Spirit, God. Allow us to see, God. Reveal to us the schemes of the enemy that we may not fall prey to it, God. Come, Father, Lord, God, and strengthen our spirit, God. Let us not be afraid. Let us not be afraid of the schemes of the enemy. Let us not be afraid of the enemy and the works of the enemy, God, because we thank you, Lord. You say, greater is he who is in us than he that is of the world. All authority has been given to you, Jesus, and you pass it on to us, God. We can do even greater things than you, Jesus. Lord, it is by your death, it is by your sacrifice, Father, Lord, God, that you have given us this gift to stand strong, to not be afraid, to confront, to reveal. Lord, may you come, God, and continue to strengthen our spiritual eyes, God, to see things that are that you allow us to see, God, that we will not be blinded, God. We will not be blinded by our daily walks in life. We will not be blinded by our own problems, God, but we will instead be able to see you in every single part of it. We will be able to have you show us where you are, what you're doing, God, and that we will see your greatness, your strength, your might, your grace and your mercy in all these things, God. That we will truly know and believe and walk knowing how big and how great a God you are. Because you are powerful, God. Nothing is impossible to you, God. We have this God that is by our side. We have a God that is light, that cannot coexist with darkness. And when the light comes, darkness flees, God. This is who our God is, Lord. Come and strengthen our faith in you, God. Allow us to truly live it out and truly believe this, God. That we may all be powerful Christians, God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, because without you and without all the works that you have done, this would be impossible. We thank you for your grace, God, for saving, choosing each one of us, Lord, and moving within us, God, and constantly teaching us and guiding us. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's turn to our prayer focus, our community prayer focus. Let's lift up those that are going through cancer and or chemotherapy. Let's pray that there will be such strong immune system in them and that they will be able to find healing through God and be strengthened in God, that there will be hope through him and his word. Let's lift them up. Let's lift up our families and friends who have yet to know God, but they're also suffering some type of infirmity. Let's pray for the Lord's salvation to be upon them. And as they receive the Lord as their Lord and Savior, they will also receive Him as their healer as well. Thank you. Let's lift up those of our brothers and sisters who are going through some type of infirmities. Let's pray for God's healing touch to be upon them. Let's lift up our brothers and sisters that are looking for jobs. Let's go into our Friday prayer focus. Let's pray for Japan and Pastor Sophia. Let's pray that she will have a good time here in Hong Kong. And for Cambodia, over Grace, our missionary there, and Oasis House, which is led by P. Jenny O. Let's lift up these two nations and the people there, our missionaries there, our partners there. Yeah, let's pray for God to move mightily and powerfully in these places because He loves them. Let's lift up the Missions Council and everyone that's part of the Mission Council. Let's pray that the Lord will give them so much wisdom and discernment into how they are to partner and find partners and distribute funds in different areas. Just pray for unity in the council as well, that they will come to a united conclusion and as they make decisions. So let's lift up the Mission Council. Let's lift up the local outreach. Igape Homi, SP Lights, Freedom, Bridge, and Recreation. Let's pray that as they serve, that they would truly be serving out of their intimacy with the Lord, that it would just flow so naturally. Their love for other people is going to be coming from the love that they receive from the Lord. And yeah, that would be their strength. That would always be the core of their ministry. Let's pray for local outreach in SP. Let's lift up SP Fam and Cadence, the ministry leader. Let's pray that she will have wisdom and favor to be able to bring in the kids that need to be fostered and adopted through SP, and that more families will step up with a heart to love on these children, just to pour into them. Yeah, so let's lift up SP Fam. Let's lift up our Friday evening gatherings, SPU, SP Youth, IP, and GIC. Let's pray that everyone that is in these gatherings and ministry will truly encounter the Lord, and that there'll be a change in them this evening. Let's pray for the Lord to touch their heart tonight, that they will allow the Lord to touch their heart, that they will give God the permission to move in them. So let's pray for the Friday evening gatherings. Lastly, let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for, yeah, God's peace to be in this place, and that everyone, no matter how and what kind of involvement and belief they are, that they will encounter God, and that they will find true healing within them, true resolution in God. So yeah, let's lift up this situation. Let's pray that there won't be further violence or no escalation of violence. Yeah, let's pray for Hong Kong. Father, we just want to thank you for this morning, Lord. Once again, we just want to dedicate this day to you, God. May you come and continue to minister to each one of us here, Lord, and allow us to know that you're with us, you're walking with us, that you care for us. And yeah, let us have such attentive ears to what you're saying, God. As we part today, Lord, may you protect everyone that is here, God. Watch over everything that pertains to us, Lord. And let us have a good weekend as well, Lord. We thank you, God, for this time we can carve out to find you in the morning, God. We thank you, God, that when we come before you, you will always be found. So we praise you, God, and we thank you for being so patient and gracious to us. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a good rest of the day.